We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we give glory and honor to you, Almighty God, because you alone are Lord, because you alone are the one where two or more are gathered. You say, there I am in your midst. Lord God, two or more are gathered in your name, and we pray for your Spirit to fall upon each and every one of us, but in particular, Lord, the people or peoples that need your Spirit more, that need it the most. Lord God, you promised us in your word, and your word holds true, because in you there is no darkness, there is nothing but light. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Lord God, we thank you for that word. We thank you for the word that you give us in sacred scripture. We thank you for the way that you speak to us through our church. And Lord God, in a particular way, I pray for your peace upon Father Patsy as he goes through the transition of loss of a loved one from losing his mother last night. We pray for peace for that entire family. But Lord God, we pray for openness of heart, of mind, that we be attentive and aware of what you and your Spirit is doing at this moment in time. In Jesus, your name, amen.
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 I got something good here, guys. Let's go start a fire.
Yes.
Any volunteers want to come up here and hold your hand on that for 10 seconds? Come on up. Right on there. Don't put it out. Put your hand on it. No, no. Oh, no, no, no.
What?
Didn't you know that fire burns?
No.
No? Do you now?
Sort of.
I think our point is made clear. I don't have to tell you that, besides Connor, right? If you touch that, it's going to burn you. Will it burn you? You know it. One volunteer out of 50 people?
I'll do it.
Now here we go. You don't need me to tell you what's wrong here. You don't need to tell me about the dangers of life. We're surrounded by it. We all know people who are doing things, involved in things that they shouldn't be. Maybe we're some of them. Maybe we're some of the people doing things we shouldn't be doing. You know, it's an amazing thing how God surrounds us with love, even though you don't recognize it. You don't even know it at times. I don't know any of you. I'm maybe one back there, Tiffany. Everybody knows Tiffany, though. I don't know any of you, but I am compelled by the love of Jesus Christ to come here and deliver a message that I think the Spirit of God, the living God, has given me to give to you. Isn't that an amazing thing? God loves you so much that he wants a perfect stranger to come and speak to you about things, about life's experiences, about the way life has been for me. There are, we've all seen it on TV or seen it advertised. There's people who are always doing these, to me, silly, ridiculous things. I'll just made up one. It was a motorcycle daredevil, okay? If this motorcycle daredevil can jump 20 cars, the next time he goes to a gig, he's got to jump 22 cars. And if he jumps 22 cars, the next time he goes to his motorcycle gig, he's going to break his record and jump 25 cars. Eventually, the man is going to crash. It's going to happen. You know it, and I know it. Common sense will tell you eventually he's going to outreach what he can physically and mechanically perform. There's no way around it. And every motorcycle daredevil, every stuntman has had their share of accidents, but they get back on and do it again for God only knows what reason. We all know people, and maybe us, who make choices. Some may consider them daring. Others may consider them not so daring in our life. And generally, when we step aside and away from God and the Holy Spirit, we make bad decisions. As a matter of fact, it's 100% foolproof. You stand out of the grace of God, and a bad decision will come your way. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Step out of God's grace, and you're going to step into sin. Years ago, I stepped out of God's grace. Guess what happened to me? I thought about the unthinkable sin. And I look back on it 27 years later, and it's frightening that I thought of the unthinkable sin. I thought I had only one choice left in my life. Just one. And it was in that moment, when I had hit rock bottom, that I heard the voice of God. And God said to me, "Turn to me." Now, mind you, I'd quit going to church probably 10 years prior to that. And I had no clue who God was. None. I was so disconnected. I knew the church. It's probably the greatest gift my dad ever gave me. My dad was a barber back in the days when long hair was in. So we grew up as poor as church mice. But the greatest gift my dad gave me was faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. When I had no other place to turn to, I knew somehow I had to turn back to the Catholic Church. It was either this or step back into grace. I stepped out of this life because I was a little frightened to do that. And I stepped back into the grace of God. This weekend, this day, you're stepping into the grace of God. There's no two ways about it. This is what God, I say God rescued me. The scripture that comes to me is Revelation 3:20, where God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens that door, I will come in and dine with them and they with me." That door that Christ is talking about is the door to your heart and yours and yours. It only has a knob on one side. See, God is the perfect gentleman. The Holy Spirit is the perfect gentleman. He's not going to kick the door in. He's going to wait to find that grace moment. Remember when you were little kids and you fell down and your mommy or your daddy got you by the face and kissed your boo-boo or whatever else was wrong? They found that moment to be able to love you right there in that hurt moment. That's what God wants to do. But He doesn't want to wait for a moment where we're thinking of the unthinkable. He wants us to do it while we're here in grace. Before we make a mistake. Before we take a road that we shouldn't be on. God wants that, "Behold, I stand at your door." It has a knob on one side, and only you can open it. You have that ability. If I came in here with a wheelbarrow full of money, and I said, "Who wants some money?" Connor would say, "I don't." If I had a wheelbarrow full of money, and I said, "Here's the money. I'm going to give it all to you guys. I don't want it anymore." And it's stacked. $100 bills wrapped up nice and neat. Are you going to grab one of those and walk away? Or are you going to go find a basket? And are you going to load your basket up and take it back? I'm going to load my basket up. I'm going to take as much of this that I can. And it's the same way with God. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. Perfect gentleman. The perfect gentleman. He's never going to force something on you that you're not wanting to accept. What the Spirit will do, if you're open a little bit, you're probably going to receive a little bit. If you're open a lot, there's what Pope John Paul II proclaimed years ago, open wide. Bless you, bless you. Open wide the doors to your heart. He didn't say crack it, he said open wide the doors to your heart. This is the man that we look at as the leader of the church. So wise that he's only been dead 5, maybe 6 years, and he's already been beatified? Blessed? It's something to know that, as Kay said, I have this 10-year-old, and it's something to be able to understand the wisdom of somebody older than you. This 10-year-old, a few years back, if his ball ran out or rolled out into the middle of the road, a heavily trafficked road, he'd run out and get it, not thinking he needs that ball. If I tried to hold him back, he would kick and scream because he knows what he wants, but I know what's better for him. See, my wisdom is above his, and I'm sure yours would be too. You know, you would know what was better. Even though he would kick and scream and fight and be angry at you, you would know what was best for him. As the church's wisdom is above every one of you and me. As these people are, these folks that's helped put this weekend on, there's a wisdom and a love that only comes from the Spirit of God. I'm giving up time doing, I could be doing something else. But this right here seemed more important to me. You guys seemed more important to me. There's a love and a wisdom we can lead you. How open that is entirely up to you. Goes back to if your thought that this weekend is stupid, I just want to get out of here, let me bide my time, you know, your door begins to close a little more. Open wide. Open wide. In Luke, he tells us, what is impossible for human beings is possible for God. It's God. It goes beyond the limitations of human logic. You know, when I came into this great awe experience, when I was here and I stepped over here into grace, I stepped into the gift of fear. I stepped into, I knew who God was. I mean, I didn't know him in a book. I knew who God was on an intimate, on a personal level that no one could ever give me. It had to be the Spirit. It had to be the Spirit of God falling on me. There was no other explanation. The hunger that I had for God and for all that he offered, it was something that every one of us should be passionate and hungry about. Maybe that should be your prayer. Lord, give me the hunger to want to know you deeper. Give me the thirst to want to know you more. It's not what we have or don't have. It's none of that. It's not what we have or don't have. It's who we are inside. And God tells us in that scripture, in the heart. It's not here. It's in the heart. Who are we inside? Are we sons and daughters of God? Does it really matter to us this weekend? My mom made me come. My dad made me come. My mom and dad both made me come. Who are we? Who are we inside? You have a chance to change that. You have a chance. We have to be in a posture to be able to receive Jesus Christ. I wasn't receiving him when I was over here. When I stepped into God's grace, I received him. It was the most. My daddy could have given me the world. $6 million, boats, or faith, I would have taken the faith. That was the greatest gift my dad could have ever given me, was the gift of faith. And I think it's kind of important to your moms and dads too, because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't. It's they love you that much to make sure that you have a relationship with the one who sets the stars in their places, who knows you so intimately and personally that he knows the hairs on your head. It's the one who loves you so much that when he stretched out his arms, Connor, he had you in mind. And you, Tommy, he had you in mind when he stretched out his arms, because it was for you and you and you. It's that personal and it's that intimate. And I think we miss the boat if we look at it any other way. If we look at it from an intellectual level, that's all fine and well. Tell me about your best friend from an intellectual level, okay? You can't tell me how personal you know that person. You know how personal it is, but you can't describe it. And that's what God wants. He wants your heart. The Holy Spirit wants your heart. So much so that he died for you. God loves every one of you. And you know what? So do I. God bless you all.